I was diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome probably 6 or 7 years ago. 3 to 5 times a week, I would be waking up with severe pain that doubled me over, and the diarrhea that kept me in the bathroom all morning. I would say this pain is comparable to labor pain. I've had 2 children, and the pain was so severe at times that I was unable to do anything. I was just laying in bed hoping the pain would go away.
I've had IBS symptoms for a long time. I'm talking about at least a decade or more. To me, a good day is a day that doesn't have more than 2 bowel movements. And a good day is a day that doesn't have nausea. And a good day is a day that I'm not feeling sore because I've wiped so many times. If it's just 1 bowel movement, but if I have to be on there for 10, 15 minutes and it hurts, that's a bad day. I don't care if it's just 1 bowel movement. 1 BM that lasts 10, 15 minutes is a bad day. So I keep track of all that in my head, you know, what's happened already today. And then I also try to figure out, can I salvage this day? Because basically what you're talking about is enduring trauma every single day to my body.
Yeah, that's very tender right there.
Okay. Well, you know that this is part of irritable bowel. This is your sigmoid colon, and when I press it, it's going to be sensitive. It's kind of the same thing as when you get cramps, you're getting tenderness right over in this area. Irritable bowel syndrome is a disorder of GI function that's characterized by abdominal pain, and the abdominal pain must be associated with some change in bowel habit, which could be diarrhea or constipation or some mixture or combination of the two. The pain is often lower abdominal. That's not to say it can't be upper abdominal or both. The pain may become relieved by a bowel movement. The pain may be associated with a looser or more frequent bowel movement, or the pain may be associated with constipation symptoms.
I began to start having symptoms that I didn't understand, which start occurring like in the late 80s. I felt bloated all of the time, and it felt like I just had extra weight in my abdominal area all the time. There would be times that I could go to the bathroom, but most of the time, if I was striving to have a bowel movement, I just sat there. I was always, you know, very gassy and heart cramping.
Patients more often go to the doctor because of the pain. That's what troubles them the most.
Discomfort is like a feeling of fullness, a feeling of just the stomach being churning a little bit, and that's fine. It's just when it gets to the sharp, jabbing, ice pick to the loins kind of pain that it's so difficult to take, and I'm praying, please let me have a bowel movement so I can get this out of me.
We're understanding the pain of irritable bowel in terms of a condition called visceral hypersensitivity. And what we really mean by that is that people with irritable bowel have a lower sensation threshold. If you were to overeat, you might get abdominal cramps. Someone with irritable bowel might eat just a normal meal or a small meal and get the same cramps. So the degree of stretch in the bowel from food, which is a phenomenon for everybody, if it's stretched enough, you get the pain, we call that colic, occurs with lower levels of distension in the irritable bowel. And you can talk about an urge threshold or a pain threshold. In all cases, the threshold is lower for irritable bowel people than healthy people.
Irritable bowel can affect almost anybody. In about 25% of cases, it comes on suddenly, often after an infection. But more often, it's not necessarily related to an infection. It seems to develop rather insidiously early in life or during early adulthood. In the U.S., it's been estimated as anywhere from 5 to 10% of the population. So we're talking about 25 million people. And certainly the same proportions are showing up around the world. So it's actually been considered second to the common cold in terms of work absenteeism. It is the most common GI disorder seen by primary care doctors or gastroenterologists. So it's worldwide and it's very prevalent.
probably about, in our country, 50 to 60% have not been to the doctor, and they probably have mild or mild to moderate symptoms. Of those who go to the doctor, probably about two-thirds might have mild to moderate symptoms, and then maybe a third would have the more severe symptoms. So if you looked in terms of the whole population, maybe somewhere between 5 to 20% have severe, maybe another 30% to 40% might have moderate, and the remainder have the mild.
It is predominantly more seen in our female patients, but I do have some men, and I have some adolescents who are undergoing evaluation as well for this.
I think it's a women's health issue simply because it's far more prevalent in women. The other thing is it can be misinterpreted and misdiagnosed. Women with IBS actually have many more surgeries of many types that include more hysterectomies than the general population, more gallbladder removals, more exploratory laparotomies. All of these abdominal operations are more common in women with IBS, possibly because of misdiagnosis, than surgeries, for example, for heart disease.
There's quite a variation in the symptomatology that patients with irritable bowel syndrome have. Some will do well for a period of time and then get intermittent flare-ups. Others will have more chronic symptoms and complaints, and then everything in between.
You don't know when your symptoms are going to come. You don't know once they end if they're going to come back. People can have symptoms for several months, then for several months not have symptoms at all, and then it can come back. It's what they call the waxing and waning disorder.
Irritable bowel syndrome is a functional problem as opposed to a structural problem that you can go in and identify very easily. And by functional, I mean that it's a variation in how the bowel normally would work.
Our research is now showing that there are abnormalities in the nerve receptors of the bowel and in their connections to the brain and vice versa. So in the normal healthy individual, if you were to stretch the bowel or produce an infection in the bowel, the brain can receive that information and send down nerve impulses like endorphins to block the pain. But in the more severe IBS, we know that those signals are not working properly. So in fact, the pain signals that come from the bowel are amplified and turned up, and the brain is not turning it down. There's actually a switch mechanism, and in irritable bowel, the switch is not working properly.
I'll have stomach cramps, go to the bathroom. 15 minutes later, I'll have more stomach cramps, go to the bathroom. I've gone to the bathroom 8 times in a day without eating a single crumb on that day.
You get very anxious. You're fearful of leaving the house. You don't want to be anywhere where there isn't a bathroom. It becomes a vicious cycle where the symptoms trigger an anxiety response, which in turn will make the symptoms worse.
If I am stressed, I'll probably have more symptoms. If I'm taking certain medications, like cold medications, it'll cause me to be more constipated. Or antibiotics are really bad. That causes really bad diarrhea and cramping for me.
The management of irritable bowel syndrome is challenging. We manage it by mostly symptoms, trying to improve their symptoms. We often don't get the kind of response that we hope. We often will see, even with something designed to decrease spasm, increased pain.
Problem with those things for me is that when I take stuff like that, it slows everything down. So therefore, it prolongs me to going to the bathroom. And I want to speed up the process. I want to get it out. Because once everything's out, then that's when I have relief.
I think the most challenging are the ones who have the most severe symptoms, the ones with the most pain. When someone has just diarrhea and you treat that, that's fine. But when they do have alternation, sometimes the problem is in the regularization of their bowel habit. So if you give them something for diarrhea, they may end up getting constipation as a result. And if you treat the constipation, they get the diarrhea.
people think you can just go on with life without worrying about it, just deal with it, so to speak. And I think often it's difficult for people to do that, especially if you have diarrhea or incontinence. Anyone who's ever had a virus where they were having vomiting and diarrhea consistently for even a day or two can understand that. So.
If someone has chronic severe pain, very often over months or years, they feel helpless, they feel out of control, they feel ineffective in managing their symptoms.
You have these plans, but that day you're supposed to leave and you get these stomach cramps and you don't go to the bathroom and you don't know if you're gonna have problems on the road. It's a horrible feeling.
We had a patient who came to us who was actually a multimillionaire, traveled around the world, had a great big business going, and he had irritable bowel and seemed to manage with it okay. On two occasions, he had such severe diarrhea that he became incontinent in a social setting. This was very embarrassing to him. So embarrassing that he lost his sense of confidence in himself, and he took to his home and actually wouldn't leave the house. He was referred to me. It actually took three trips because on two of the trips he turned around from the airport and went back home because he was fearful of going on a plane. This was a world traveler.
I had meetings scheduled that I had to cancel or reschedule because of my symptoms, and that's very frustrating because I tend to be a very hard worker with a work ethic that's very high. So to have to reschedule things because of this was difficult to do.
The healthcare burden for irritable bowel is considerable. We're talking about $2 billion in this country of direct costs and $20 billion of indirect costs. Indirect costs means not just the cost of going to the doctor and getting treated, but we're talking about the loss to the healthcare economy by people not in the workforce. So that's $20 billion.
The worst thing is just the feeling of powerlessness, not being in control of my own body. It's like my body owns me. And if you were to talk about master and slave, I would be the slave and my body would be the master.
There really is a need to have medications that treat irritable bowel syndrome, as opposed to specific symptoms.
The ideal drug would be to have, you know, the nerves and your intestines not so sensitive and to have the proper amount of contractions daily. That's the key, really. And that would help people no matter which they had.